What if everything you have deemed as impossible really was possible? What have you known and believed was possible your whole life? You just didn't know how to actualize it. Come and discover a world of infinite possibilities on Outside the Impossible with Venus Castleberg. On this show, we will share pragmatic tools to create the life and living you truly desire. And now, your host, Venus Castleberg.
Welcome back, everyone. How are you today? That's funny. I just had a random thought, and I was like, oh, quick, I got to write that down. And then I'm like, oh, right, I'm on the air. So I just, I have Joseph Dukes here again as a special guest, and we are here to talk about money. Money, 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 money.
Money.
And what I'd like to invite you guys to do just to start, like, let's just start off the show by going, okay, so when we said money, did that expand your world? Did that light you up? Did that give you more space? Or did your whole world go crashing in? Did you go and contract and resist?
Freak out.
Like, yeah, what's that? Get heavy, right? So the unfortunate thing is there's so many misconceptions and misidentifications of money and what money's even for, and all the judgments we have on money, and all the judgments on whether we have enough money or don't have enough money. And judgment actually stops what's possible. I know I've said this about other things. I've said this about other topics. But it stops creation. So if you're, let's say we could even take it into partnership. If you're in partnership and you're judging each other, how creative is that? Generative is that? It's not, right? It's pretty contracting and degrading and, right, heavy and, right? So, but then if you're judging your partner, then you go into this sort of destroying what you have. So the same thing is with money. So if you have judgments on money, you have the same sort of reaction or outcome. And so that it's not generative, it then becomes destructive. And I'm sure everybody's going, oh, well, that's great. How do I get out of judgment of money? You know, that I grew up with that. I was trained that. I was taught that. I remember a few episodes back, I was talking to Lale, and she had this really cute exercise. It was so fun. Just that, you know, everybody put a penny or put a coin in your hand, and can you be grateful for that one coin? You know, that was a really cool exercise. But I wanted to start just by, like, acknowledging that, yes, we all have our points of view about money. We all have our judgments about money. And to start today, would you be willing to destroy and uncreate all of those? Everything you've learned, you biomimetically mimicked, and all the judgments you have about money, would you destroy and uncreate them times Godzillion?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nine shorts, boys, and meows. Awesome. And all of the, like, I also want you guys to just pay attention, like, all of the walls and barriers, all of the, like, you know, those are judgments too, but they're also resistance too. So if you have a lot of walls, if you have a lot of walls and barriers, then how much flow is there, right? It's like it's all hitting a wall, right? So all the walls, barriers, why don't we just also just take a moment and take our deepest barriers down, even the ones we don't know about. Anything that doesn't allow that, right, wrong, good, bad, pock, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and yawns. And then let's all just imagine that we're on a lazy river, floating down a lazy river on an inner tube. Sun is high, feels good. Might have a cold beer in the hand or a cold margarita or a soda pop, whatever you like. And just perceive the ease of that. Just
the walls. It's funny, at the beginning when you mentioned, let's talk about money, I could literally feel my wall snap up.
Money. Arr. Okay, this is. I like money. I like money.
And there's times when I talk about money that it's easy, and there's times when I talk about money and it's, you know, and it's painful and it's funny. It's all just a point of view with what's going on in that particular moment. But as soon as you mentioned bringing your walls down, and especially the one where you said even the ones that you don't know about, because I don't know what those mean. I don't know what that means. It's like even the ones I don't know, and I'm just like, oh wait, I have hidden walls. I have there are things that I hide from myself about my feelings about money. That just really lit me up. It really just changed different things for me. So that's awesome.
That's great. And then having that energy of flow and sitting in the lazy river and going along for this gentle ride today, let's see if we could play and have a different conversation about money. Like, not what's right and wrong about money, not what's good and bad about money, but how about what else is possible with money?
Okay.
And today's topic is actually about receiving money.
Ooh, I like receiving. Receiving is awesome.
Awesome. However, how much can you receive with walls and barriers?
Probably about as much as I can when I'm in judgment of me. Because
right.
It's interesting you mentioned being judgment of your partner. But it's interesting that when I think of money and I think of judgment, I typically don't think of judging somebody else in that way. I usually think of all the things that I've done that in retrospect I look back and go, oh, that was not the best choice. So judgment and walls and barriers, because you said that judgments, walls are a type of judgment.
Mm-hmm. So usually you have resistance and reaction to something because you have a judgment of it.
Mm.
So if you have a judgment of money, then you often resist and react to money. If you didn't have a point of view about money, if you didn't have a judgment about money, you wouldn't resist and react with it or align and agree with it. You would have no point of view.
It'd just be kind of a neutral.
Right.
Like, yeah, okay. That's different.
Yeah.
I like it.
So this episode was called Receiving Money, and as I was sitting here, okay, so what would it be like to receive from money?
To receive from it.
Mm-hmm.
So not necessarily receive the physical embodiment of money, but actually receive from money itself as an entity?
As an energy?
As an energy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because
energy.
Money is energy.
Yeah, money is energy. Right.
Okay.
So, and can you perceive the difference perceive the energetic difference?
Yeah, no, I can totally receive that. I can totally see that and perceive it. Yeah.
Right. So, what would be possible if we looked at money as energy, as I'm going to go out on a limb here. What if you treated money as a friend?
Wow. Okay, that would be different than I've treated, and I'll just call money her. That's different than I've treated her, you know, for 47 years.
Right.
She and I have not always seen eye to eye. And let's be honest, I have not treated her very well a lot in my relationships with her.
So if money was a friend,
mm-hmm.
would money want to come hang out with you?
I'd like to say yes.
In the way that you've treated her?
I'd have to say no. Unless she's a really good friend with a lot of patience. And treats me like one of those, you know, special needs children that says, you just need a hug. you're special. You need a hug.
Cool. So I'd like to invite you all to think about, what if money really was a friend and all it's ever wanted to do was gift you, contribute to you, change your life for the better. And all you've done is but resisted and reacted and made it wrong for everything that it's desired to gift you. And that is what keeps it at bay. So if you were to treat money as a friend, we could just change it today, right? We could change it today and be like, okay, money, how are you today? What would you like to do today?
Would you like to have fun today?
Yeah.
Would you like to go for a walk today? Would you like to sit and have coffee somewhere someday today?
I am so grateful for you, friend.
Oh, man.
Money, I am just so grateful for you.
I have friends that, well, and truthfully, you know, it's interesting, the more time that I get to spend with you, and you're, you know, you definitely show gratitude just in life. And as you and I talk, and those times that you mentioned to me how grateful you are for the time we spend together, it makes me want to spend more time with you. Mm. So,
yeah. Right?
Wow.
So what if money was the same? So could you, I'm not just talking to Joseph here, I'm just talking to everybody, is like, could you start every day being grateful for what you have?
Yes.
Grateful for the money that is in the bank. Grateful for the money that did come in today. Even if it's just a penny. I mean, even if, like, truthfully, guys, I mean, even if we're talking about people, somebody who's homeless, they usually have at least a penny.
They do.
Right? Right?
And that's, and they're, you know, I've talked to people that are, you know, homeless or are, you know, panhandling or whatever. And, I reach my pocket and I've never, you know, and I've talked to people that have had someone say, oh, you know, I gave that guy money and he was so ungrateful. But it's interesting, the times that I've given what I had, you know, whether it was I had a bottle of water in my car or I had, you know, a $5 bill or a $20 bill, whatever it was that I gave someone, there was always, well, the ones that I remember are the ones where, and it's interesting that I just realized that, the ones that are memorable to me aren't the ones that blew me off. They're the ones that showed me their gratitude, and even if it was just as simple as a 50-cent bottle of water, I just happened to have it, didn't have any cash to give somebody. But it was just like, oh man, thank you so much. And it's interesting that bargained with life for a penny. Wow, that's huge.
So if money was the exact same way, let's say your money, let's pretend your money for a minute.
Okay.
And like you're remembering all the people that are grateful for you.
Man, I'd want to go hang out with them.
Right.
Right.
And you don't even remember the people that aren't grateful for you.
No. Why would I waste my time on those dicks? What the heck?
So what if money was no different? Like, really? And money was just like, oh, no, I'm not going to waste my time over there.
That's huge.
I'm just going to hang out with the people who are grateful. Yeah. And cool. So anything that doesn't allow you guys to be grateful for money, and whatever it is, even if you only have two pennies to rub together, you destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. And what if money was a dog? You ever notice how dogs just really want to give? Give, 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 more. Puppy love, puppy love. We have one right here, right now, saying, I want to be part of the show. And so with puppies, they don't turn around and go, I want to stop giving. I just want to keep giving. The only thing that stops the giving is the receiving.
Is the receiving, yeah.
Right? It's the people that go, go away, shoo. Like
you're bothering me,
right? And what if people are doing the same thing to money? They're going, go away, you're bothering me.
I don't want to think about you right now.
And the money's just like, I just want to give you. I just want to give it to you. The universe is like, here's the moon and the stars, and I just want to give it all to you. And you're like, no.
Well, and
you can't make me.
Well, but you know, it's interesting that you say that, because on that, you know, how many points of view have I bought? And it's just, I'm just speaking to me. How many points of view are out there of people who are saying it's wrong to receive money, or it's, you know, it's okay to receive to a certain amount, but you know, you shouldn't make more than XYZ, because then you become a, you know, what are they, when they're money hungry or a just person, or what? I mean, what, it's like, well, it's kind of like having someone say, you know, I have a buddy of mine who owns a Ferrari, and I've had someone mention about, I never own a Ferrari, I'm broke for it, because you don't make that money to own one. Exception that I've had people give me before, on when I talk about, you know, wouldn't it be, what would it be like to have a certain amount of money? Some people have such a point of view on it that it almost, it's almost made me embarrassed at times, thinking that I'm like, oh, you're right, maybe I shouldn't want $12 million a year. Maybe I shouldn't want $12 million a month. Maybe I shouldn't want, you know, so buying into other people's points of view.
Oh, yeah, and that brings me back to the beginning of the show of, like, all the points of view that you've bought from anybody, from any lifetime, would you now destroy and uncreate them times a godzillion?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and beyonds. We're going to take a short break here. If you have any questions for us, please call in to 202-570-7057, and we'll be back after this very short break.
Of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for inspired conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
What is magnificent about you that you've never acknowledged? Are you ready to let your own light shine? What if you were 1,000 times more potent and powerful than you give yourself credit for? What if there was a monthly call that is designed specifically to empower you to be all you can be? Would that be fun for you? Venus Castleberg is now offering a Magnificence monthly membership for only $50 a month. Mention this ad and receive 50% off. To register or for more information about the membership, events, and services, please go to www.venuscastleberg.com. Is now the time to be different?
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Awesome. Welcome back, everyone. We are here. I'm here with guest Joseph Dukes, and we're talking about receiving money. And I'll go a step farther. We're actually talking about receiving from money. Mm. And what might that be like?
I don't know, but I'm fired up to find out.
Cool. So we, before the break, Joseph was mentioning, talking about like kind of other people's judgments and other people's points of view. The truth is, what other people think about your money and how much money you have or don't have is totally, but that's actually usually their stuff, right? It's their own points of view about money. And Gary Douglas said one thing one time. I love this. He said, you know, what kind of a person are you? Are you a kind person, or are you a jerk?
I like to think of myself as kind.
Right. So money only enhances who you already are. So if you're kind and generous now, you're just going to be more kind and generous with more money.
I like that idea.
Right? But if you're a dick now, you're still going to be a dick, and probably more so when you have a lot of money.
Greater. You're going to be a jerk. You're going to be a bigger asshole.
Yes. Right. So... And that's not a judgment. It's just actually what is true, right? It's a fact, right? It's but then just, again, letting people have their points of view. When you go into resistance and reaction to somebody's points of view, then you're either making it right, you're aligning and agreeing, or resisting and reacting.
Right.
So you're judging their judgments. So it's better to actually just be like, okay, so it doesn't really matter what you think. I'm choosing this for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like... Stephen Chutissa Bowman did this money call last year. I think it was last year. Anyway, they're the writers of Benevolent Leadership. Just brilliant, brilliant teachers and mentors. And they did a money call. And they talked about, like, money is for more choice and more possibilities.
Right.
That's it. Like, we think money's to pay the bills, or money's to save me from my ex, or money's to, like, buy a billion things. I mean, that's part of it, sure. But, like, if you have more money, you have more choice. You have more possibilities available to you. And that's really all it's for. And so what is the lack of money? What are you trying to prove? And I'm just going to use Joseph as my guinea pig because he's here today. What are you trying to prove?
I'm a good sport.
Yes. He is a good sport. What are you trying to prove with the lack of money you're choosing?
That I don't have choice.
Okay, so everything that is, times of God's letting me destroy and create it all?
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pot, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. Question?
Yeah, well, I think it's interesting because as you're asking that question, that was what came in my head, was that I don't have choice. And it's funny, it's that maybe that it's not that I don't have choice, but that my choices are predetermined.
Mm.
That it's like, okay, well, you know, XYZ, you know, you've done XYZ, so the next thing that has to happen is... Yeah, you know, you've done 1, 2, 3, so the next thing that has to happen is blank. You know, you've had, you know, things have been going so great in your life for so long that something bad has to happen.
Mm.
I mean, so, it's you know, it's interesting those are different things that kind of popped in my head of like, you know, where have I, maybe even on a subconscious level or on a, you know, little niggling voice in my ear bought that, you know, instead of thinking, dude, that was awesome. What would it take to keep that going and going and going and going? You know, it's the story of the diamond bracelet. You know, what would it take for it to start off as finding a dime and continue to find stuff, and just how does it get better? just continue to ask that question. How does it get better? And even when it's not going awesome, how does it get better?
Right. Great. Yeah. Staying in the question for sure. You said something there, though, that was like, so everywhere where you believe that there's a finite amount available and that, well, we'll just start with that one. Will you destroy and uncreate that times of God's million?
Yeah.
Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, shorts, boys, and meons. And everywhere where you've used money as a problem solver. Would you destroy and uncreate that times a godzillion?
Yes.
Right? I'm going to bet a pock pot all nine choice boys and beyonds. A lot of us create, and I'm not saying I am not exempt from this, a lot of us create problems to overcome. So I'm, one of the things that I actually had happen, and this was really brilliant for me, I actually had, I would create about $8,000. And then as soon as I'd create $8,000, I'd go to zero because it was all the money I was comfortable having. Mm. So then I'd go to zero, and then I'd be in zero, and I'd have to like create myself, right? And then I'd create $8,000 and I'd spend it. So that was one thing that I used to do. It was really fun, this little yo-yo thing. But it was almost like I knew how to create $8,000.
Right.
I didn't know how to create beyond it. I didn't know how to have beyond that. Mm. Like it wasn't comfortable, right? So a lot of us have comfort stuff with, like, we're only comfortable having a certain amount of money. So everything that is for everyone, we destroy and uncreate it all.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, puddle, nine shorts, boys, and meons. And then I had this friend, I was really grateful, Kate Spear. We were in doing class. She was doing an Access Consciousness Foundation class. And I have been in debt $60,000 twice in my life. And I've gotten myself out of debt. That was the fire that I created to get myself out of, right? And then one day when we were talking about this $8,000 thing, and I'm like, I don't know what it is. I can only get to $8,000 and then I have to go to zero. And she's like, okay, so you know that you have the capacity to create $60,000 to get yourself out of debt? What would it be like to create $60,000 on the other side?
That fires me
up. Right? And have $60,000, right? Like actually have your net worth be $60,000 or more. And I'm happy to say that I actually broke that last year.
Awesome. Good job.
So, but it was being willing to ask those sorts of questions like, okay, right. So can I destroy and uncreate where I'm my comfort zone with money? Okay. Can I destroy and uncreate also all the places where I feel like I have to have a fire to get out of? Like I have to create debt to get out of debt. Rather than just create beyond it, create, right?
Create excess.
Right, create to have, create, you know, being comfortable with having money, hanging out with money. Again, what if money was your best friend?
I love that.
Would you, you know, how much would you want to hang out?
All
how much gratitude would you have for that? Right?
No doubt.
And every time you had the money to pay a bill, you'd be grateful for that money. And every time you had money in your bank, you'd be grateful for that money, wouldn't you?
Right, yeah.
If it was your best friend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But we treat money as if it's our worst enemy.
Right. Sure we do.
Like, if you think about it, if money is energy and it's always just wanting to gift you, then that's a really twisted point of view about friendship. So everything that brings up and lets down, we destroy and uncreate it all.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, fun, all nine shorts, boys, and meons. Cool.
Oh, wow.
Questions?
I'll just, you know, it's funny how I just wanted to, I've done similar things, you know, created financial struggles at different times in my life, and then got out of it and was just like, wow, that was, you know, it was like the exhilaration of getting out of it. And so what would it take for me to just keep creating? And even if it's like, okay, cool, you get yourself, I dig myself out of a hole or get myself out of a hole. And then the very next thing that I'm able to do is to continue to create, like not stopping. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's the other side too. It's like, cool, you dig yourself a hole, then you fill in the hole, and you're like, whew, man, cool, I can stop. And then I stop working again. And it's like, oh, man, okay, awesome. That pothole's filled in.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, I guess I got to go dig a hole somewhere so I can fill it in again. It's just like, what if we just kept filling?
Right.
You know, even though the hole's already filled in, what about, you know, what about being Scrooge McDuck? What about, you know, being able to just keep piling and piling and piling and piling? Because the thing for me personally, I know that when I have extra, then my desire to give increases.
Mm-hmm.
My desire to give of my time, my desire to give of my money, my desire to give goes up. And I like gifting to people, not of all stuff, not just of money or time, but just I find it fulfilling.
Mm-hmm.
And when I have an abundance of anything, it's easier for me to give. It's harder, you know. That's interesting. I guess it's harder for me to give when I'm in lack. So what if I didn't have any lack in anything in my life?
Mm.
And being able to, you know, being able to go from that.
Right. Well, it actually brings me back to I believe I talked about it. I don't know, a couple months back about gifting to other people, giving to other people with the overflow
mm-hmm.
rather than so I like when you said that, I was like, I could see that, like that silo getting filled up, and like suddenly you have this silo filled with money, and now it's overflowing, and you're just able to give and gift from the overflow.
Right.
But your tank is still full.
Yeah, my tank never gets depleted.
Right. But yeah. A lot of times, like you said, we are in like survival, you know, how do I pay the rent? How do I pay the next bill? How do I, you know, do that? Which I totally understand. I've been there. And like one of the key places to switch that is be grateful for what you have, and more can show up. It's like laws of attraction. It just magnetizes to itself.
Right.
But then also like being like, what would it take to be committed to filling your own silo so that then you do have that overflow?
Well, that that's kind of like getting on an airplane and where the stewardess, or the, I guess a politically correct term is the flight attendant, the flight attendant's up there and is, you know, going through the motions of, okay, put your oxygen, you know, in case we're going to crash and we lose cabin pressure, which means that, of course, there's less oxygen in the cabin than, you know, we're supposed to have.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to take the oxygen mask and put it on yourself first before you try to help anyone else. Like, if you have, I mean, and as a parent, yeah, and that's a big one. Like, as a parent, they say if you have children traveling with you,
mm-hmm.
put your mask on first before trying to help your children or anyone else that can't do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because, I mean, I've seen it with money. I've seen it, you know, there have been times that I've desired to give maybe even to my children or family members that are really in need. And truthfully, if I put my oxygen mask on first, then when somebody has a financial challenge, when somebody has or they need time with me, or they need, I mean, because then I can do it from that abundance where I already have my oxygen mask on.
Mm.
You know, I'm not starving for,
right,
you know, air.
Right.
So yeah, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
So then I'm in more of a preparatory mode at all times, because
mm-hmm.
you know, life happens to everybody. Life is what goes on around us, and if unfortunately there's a lot of people that don't prepare at all.
Mm.
And so.
But what if it wasn't about preparing? It was just about receiving.
Ooh. Wow.
Okay. So money is energy, and it just desires to gift you. All you have to do is receive.
Just receive it.
Yeah. Not Turn something you have to do. Open the floodgates.
I don't have to do anything to receive. I just can just be.
Yep.
And then...
So it doesn't mean, all right, so I want to reframe that because a lot of people get confused. They're like, okay, so it means I don't have to do anything. I could just sit on the couch.
Sit on a beach. I can sit on a beach and drink Mai Tais and money will just show up.
No. You do have to be in action, but at the same time, if money is energy and it desires to gift you, it's going to show up in the most random places.
Uh-huh.
You're going to, you know, and usually it's not even going to happen from the things that you're doing. Like... And we, yes, you can go get a paycheck, but when you really need money, doesn't it usually come from like some random place that you're like, wow, I didn't plan for that. I didn't work for, you know, but you're still in action. You're still moving forward. You know, like right now I moved to Salt Lake and it's like, okay, so how can we still be receiving the energy with all of the money that's going out?
Right.
You know, and it's like, you could still receive the energy of money and what that might that be like and be grateful for what you have.
You never know. The moving company might call and say, hey, we want to give you a discount because we moved your truck location. Oh, and we're going to move your truck location again, so we're going to give you another discount.
Which they did, by the way.
Which is freaking awesome.
Because I'm magic with money.
Yes.
But we're going to talk about my magic with money after the break.
Awesome.
And really grateful for Joseph being here. Thank you very much for being our guest, and I will see you on the other side of the break. If you'd like to call in and ask me some questions, you can call 202-570-7057. Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
Who said life had to be hard and disempower you? What if all of life really could come to you with ease and joy? What if everything you saw as a wrongness of you was actually one of your greatest strengths? What if you could wake up every morning with a newfound sense of empowerment? Join Venus Castleberg to discover a world of infinite possibilities. Every weekday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific, Morning Musings goes live on the Venus Castleberg CF Facebook page. What magic can we create every day?
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondido.org. Brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back. I had to turn my microphone back up. Well, I stand corrected. Joseph did not have to take off in that 10 seconds.
Yay.
So he's here. And I think he actually had a question. So we'll go ahead and dive into that.
So, you know, I guess what, you know, one of the, you know, I don't know if I don't want to say it's a struggle, but one of the places where, you know, I've created income, and then I've plateaued in certain areas. Like, there's certain things that I've created, and I think part of it was I thought that when I got to a certain income level, that it was going to create different things in my life. Mm. Like, you know, hey, when I make my first six-figure income, it's, man, you know, because that's what everyone talks about. Hey, you need to make six figures. So when I made my first six-figure income, I thought it was going to create more than it did, and it was kind of like, eh, okay. And so then, you know, I doubled that and I tripled that, and so I guess there's a point of view, or there's something there that that I've almost been let down. Mm. And you know, it's funny because I remember when I was making $12 an hour, and when I was working at a grocery store when I was 18. And then I went from, literally the jump went from $12.50 an hour to $18 an hour. I mean, it was like this huge jump from apprentice to journeyman in this grocery store I worked at in Alaska. And it was interesting because I can still remember it, how it was like I was broke, and then I had this extra, you know, the income increased by a third. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that within less than six months, it was what I thought I was going to get out of that, mm-hmm. you know, moving that $18 an hour, because that was a lot of money in my brain. And so I guess my question is that maybe what is that, and how do I move? It's almost ungratefulness. I mean, like as I'm talking about it, I'm literally thinking about, you know, where, you know, was I being ungrateful? Was I thinking that it was going to be more than what? Was I trying to make an income level mean something? Like I was going to be a better person, or, you know, hey, I had a ride, I'm a baller now, or I mean, whatever. And I still think of myself as the same kind of awkward kid that I was, you know, 30 years ago. So I'd love to talk about that maybe.
Well, what's your question?
Well, my question is what, let me take a step back. I do desire to double my income again.
Okay.
And I really don't want to have the same thing happen where I'm let down because I have like this expectation of like I'm going to be something different, or it means something specific. So I guess that's really where my question is that how do I not do that?
Well, how do you think you not do that?
Well, it kind of comes back to that whole ungratefulness thing.
Hmm.
No.
Are you really ungrateful?
No,
truth.
I'm not ungrateful. No. I'm super grateful. I mean, is it ungrateful? No, it's...
What are the projections, expectations, significances, judgments, rejections you have on money? Everything that is what you destroy and uncreate it all.
No, yeah, that's it. Yes.
Yeah. Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine, choice, boys, man. So this kind of takes us back to the question of, like, where you, or what we talked about, like, where you think money is going to somehow get you something. Money is for more choice and more possibilities. That's it, folks. But if you think more money is going to get you a happier marriage, or more money is going to...
Yeah, that doesn't work.
No.
Tried it.
Speaking of somebody
failed
who tried
miserably. that was not gonna fix nothing.
Right? But then we kind of lose the drive.
I was just
right?
gonna say I lost my mojo, but that wasn't mm-hmm. it. I lost I had such an edge at one time. I mean, mm-hmm. I was charging hard. I mean, what I was doing, I mean, I was like the gold, and I don't want to say I was a golden boy, but I was definitely on a fast track, mm-hmm. and had, you know, and really the sky was the limit at the time.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, that was, you know, over the last 5-6 years, it's been this maintaining. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's great. I've maintained,
mm-hmm.
but the fire, that's what I desire to have back. You know,
in my gut where it just, I'm just fired up every single day to out-create myself from the day before.
Cool. So then that is a why. So, so
awesome.
So if you, so it's not uncommon, folks. I mean, this is, it's kind of a normal thing. Like, we all think that money's somehow going to buy us happiness. But I love that country song. It can't buy you happiness, but it can buy me a boat.
Yeah, and Yeti 110. Yeti 110. Some silver bullets.
And that's true. It can buy you a boat, but it can't buy you happiness. It can't save your marriage. You know, it can't. But if we have those projections and expectations on money, and then we get a ton of money, and that ton of money doesn't give us that, then we're like...
Get tweaked.
Right.
That's where we get tweaked.
Yeah.
Because then then it becomes like, oh, well, you know, screw it, you know, because it didn't give me what I wanted. Right.
Then I'm judging money.
Right.
And then my friend who I really enjoy hanging out with, I start judging her. She's maybe not quite so fired up to come back next time. It's just like judger.
Well, you know what's even funnier about that is like you somehow expected money to fix your marriage. Do you expect your best friend to fix your marriage?
God, no. my best friends just looked at me and shook my head and said, bro, man, I got nothing. Right? I love you. Right? I'm here for you.
Right? And that's money. I love you. I'm here for you.
Oh, wow.
But then you judge money because it didn't produce what you thought it was going to produce. And the only... thing that ever told you that was going to produce what you thought it was going to produce was you.
Was me.
Right. Yeah.
I never asked anyone. I never asked an Uber multi-quadrillionaire, hey man, if I make X amount of money, is it going to, wow.
Save my marriage.
I got a good buddy of mine that makes a ton of money, and he and I have had lots of conversations, and I know for a fact if I'd asked him that question, he would have he would have given me the country song. No, won't save your marriage, Bo, but you can buy a boat. That's funny.
So you could have some more fun with money, right? More choice, more possibility,
yeah.
Right? Cool. So everywhere where any of us have projected and expected money will buy me something. It'll buy me happiness. It'll buy me a happy marriage. It'll make my kids happy. Also, it doesn't work, by the way. it'll buy me love. You know, it doesn't buy you love. I mean, it could buy you a wife. In some countries, you could buy a wife, but that doesn't mean it's gonna buy you love, right? So again, like all of these projections, expectations, we destroy that great wall.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, puck, pot, all nine shorts, boys.
There's so many jokes going through my head right now.
Cool. So, awesome. More space, less space.
Oh, yeah. A ton more. Oh my gosh. Awesome. Yeah, that's like a totally different. Like a totally different conversation now. It's like, you know, so every place that the energy that you're talking about right there, that's exactly what it was. It's like I chose to stop everything because it didn't get me what I thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
And it was simply because I wasn't asking. You know, quality, you know, I got a buddy of mine that says the quality of your life is determined by the quality of the questions that you ask. I was not asking questions. I was in total freaking assumption. And it was funny because it wasn't like a cognitive assumption of like, okay, well, when I do blank, it's going to help X, Y, and
right.
Z. It's like all this little stuff that's going on in my life. I'm like, well, maybe if I just put my head down and just work twice as hard and make twice as much money, then they'll be happy or I'll be more fulfilled or, you know, whatever.
Right.
And, so now that I found out that that was a lie that I was the one that perpetrated on myself, nobody else perpetrated on me, money didn't perpetrate on me. So sorry, money, every place that I blamed you for all the wonky shit that went on in my life. Can we come back and have fun now? Can we have more fun together?
because that's, because man, it certainly is more fun. I mean, I've had it both. I've had money and I've had no money, and it's more fun to have money.
Right. Totally.
It is more fun.
It is more fun. So, but it doesn't mean anything.
It doesn't mean anything. Right.
Right.
Right. I've met poor people that are, they are so fired up. Man, I met some super just fired, man, they are just, they are awesome, just fired up people. And I've met some really rich people that are just depressed and, you know, not happy at all.
Right.
And then I've met the flip-flop of that too. Mm-hmm. You know, sad poor people and happy rich people. And,
right.
You know, I think that, yeah, I like the idea of having more choice.
Yeah, and it, I mean, and then that, even that is a choice, like, right?
Right.
How, who we're being about what we have now and who we're being when we have $1 billion.
It's that thing that Lale talked about, you know, putting the coin in your hand, mm-hmm. and just being super grateful for, man, I have 10 cents today. I have a nickel. I found a nickel. Oh my gosh, how fired up am I? Well, what can I get with a nickel? I don't know, but if I add them up, I put it in a jar, it might have babies.
It might. Money babies.
Money babies.
You know, and so I just want to share this little quick little story because it happened to me recently. I'm in a class, and this class was doing a 6-month extension. And like I said, we're in the middle of a move, and I was just like, but I knew I was going to do that class, but I had no idea how I was going to do it. And I was just like, okay. And so one of the tools of access, and we talk about it almost in every show, is like the question game. And I just kept asking, what else is possible and how does it get better? What else is possible? How does it get better? What else is possible that I haven't even considered? You know, and that question right there really can change things. And this is one of the ways that you stop the judgment that we were talking about. Like, if you're going down a rabbit hole of judgment and being like, I don't have the money. Like, the minute you say, I don't have the money to do that, it stops the creation of it. You've actually stopped the universe. You've stopped everything. It's like, oh, okay, you don't have the money, right? So, pock pod, you can destroy and uncreate that. So when you catch yourself going down the judgment rabbit hole, all you have to say is pock pod. That's the abbreviation of the acronyms that do of the clearing statement. And again, you can go to theclearingstatement.com to find out more information. And when you clear that, then you can be like, okay, so what else is truly possible here? And it was just so cool for me because I had a possibility, an idea come to mind of a way that I could actually generate the cash. And do it, you know, fast. And it was such, I loved that magic moment of being like, okay, I now have the money to do this and to do that, you know, and it just magically came to fruition because I was willing to ask questions and because I was willing to believe in the magic of money. And the magic of creation rather than the limited finite points of view of this reality that say it's not possible, you can't do it, there's no other way. So, and I just share that story because it was super fun for me. It was like, oh my God, this is so fun. Like, and I put that money, I put some money into an interest-bearing, it's called an IUL, it's an insurance. But it's a tax-free retirement sort of a thing. And so what's so cool about that was being able to to not only did it create some immediate cash for me, but then it also is going to grow over time.
Right.
And then we just had this really exciting conversation because I was like, oh, my money's having babies.
Money babies!
and it just, it's like, but it was something that was also, it wasn't just that I created magic with money, and I was able to do this class extension and all that stuff, which is awesome. But it also created this joy and fun with it. Like, how can we play with it? And I know I'm going to throw this out there, like, right at the end with this lovely little curveball. But awesome. What if money could work for you instead of you working for money?
Wow.
And anything that doesn't allow that, where you destroy and uncreate it all.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pun, all nine shorts, boys, beyonds. And now I'm going to say that again. What if money could work for you instead of you working for money? And anything that doesn't allow you to perceive, know, be, and receive that with total ease, where you destroy and uncreate it times a godzillion.
Yes.
Right, wrong, good, bad, pock, pun, all nine shorts, boys, and beyonds. Money really can work with you and work for you if you're willing to play with it and hang out with it like it's your best friend.
I'm going to turn on my receiving.
Yes.
I'm ready to receive some more. I'm ready to play more. It does not have to be heavy.
No.
It's only hard. Heavy if I choose it. So no more of that.
Nope.
More light, more ease, joy, and glory.
So anything, thank you so much for being here. Again, what if money could work for you instead of you working for money? Why don't you hang out with it like it's your best friend? We look forward to seeing you or hearing you next week. Thank you, folks. Bye-bye.